corresponding frequency. Because any device set to the same frequency as the sending radio can receive the recorded message, pulse radio signals are not a secure form of communication. But if we pick frequencies unused by the Commonwealth and alternate them often, Tomas and I will have a better form of communication than has been available to us thus far. For that, I am willing to take the risk. The other items from the fifth floor room I have less of a sense of purpose about. I turn a small recorder over in my hands. It resembles the one I remember finding in my testing bracelet. Perhaps it will be useful, but at the moment I'm not sure how. Setting this recorder aside, I look at the tracking devices. While I'm unsure how to use them to my advantage, there's always a chance they could be valuable. I glance at the clock. It's after 9, but still the transit communicator is silent. Forcing myself to eat, I contemplate how best to modify the frequency of the pulse radio to something not typically used by Commonwealth officials. The knot of worry in my chest dissolves as I focus on a problem I can solve. Using the screwdriver part of my pocket knife, I remove the back cover of the pulse radios and examine the transmitters and receivers. The receiving frequency is easiest to modify. Just a couple turns of a screw and it will shift downward. The transmitting frequency is more challenging since these pulse radios don't contain oscillators, but rather use surface acoustic wave filters. To alter the frequency, I will need to swap the SAW resonator and several other parts. I look through the items in my desk drawer, hoping to find what I need. But while I come up with a few pieces I can use, others are missing. The lab rooms downstairs will have those, I hope. After placing the cover back on the radio, I put everything back in my bag and head for the door. Downstairs, the corridors are empty. The officials in purple are gone. Everything is as still as a tomb. I turn to the right and head down the hallway in the opposite direction of the common room, toward the four labs we're allowed to use for our studies. Labs 1 and 4 are occupied, telling me that not everyone has chosen to hide in their rooms. Treading as lightly as possible, I walk into lab 2, put my bag on the metal counter, and walk to a set of small drawers to search for the items I need to create my SAW filter and additional components. Bits of copper, a small ceramic square, small screws. I work quickly. My confidence grows as I solder metal, connect the wires, and put that radio aside to begin work on the next one. The second is easier, since I have completed this manipulation once. When I'm finished, I speak my name into the first pulse radio's recorder and press send. Moments later, I hear my voice address me from the other radio. It worked. The two are now functioning at a different frequency. I start to work on the other two radios, but then stop to consider my options. By making all the radios the same frequency, I can allow 4 people to send messages to each other. While this sounds like a reasonable idea, I'm not sure it's the best plan. Whatever communication I have with Tomas, I want kept private. He's the only one I'm sure is on my side. The way to keep what we say between us is to set the other radios to a separate frequency and modify mine with an oscillator so it can change between the two. The work calms me. My mind empties of everything except equations to determine frequency. Creating the oscillator circuit, adding the pieces necessary to allow mine to swing between the other pulse radios. The higher frequency I keep for Tomas, the lower works with the other radios. Who I might give them to, or why, is still to be determined. When I'm done, I pack the radios in my bag and go back to my room, proud of the job I've done. As I curl up on my bed with the transit communicator clutched in my hands, I can only hope Zine is safe. I awake with a start. The sun is streaming through my bedroom window. The communicator lies on the bed beside me, silent. There's no way to know if Zine tried to contact me last night and I failed to hear his call. I push the button on the side twice and wait for my brother to respond. When he doesn't, I scramble off the bed and check the time. It's after 8. I take the communicator into the bathroom with me as I wash the sleep from my face and study myself in the reflector. With the tip of my finger, I trace the 5 scars on my left arm. While almost all the students from the testing were healed of injuries and began their university studies unmarked, these could not be removed. The poison that infected me was too powerful to be healed with the available medicines. Now that my testing memories have returned, I know how I received these scars, and I'm glad they remain. Professor Holt might believe that removing the testing memories allows us to come into our studies with a better ability to focus. But while that might be true, she's wrong about the importance of knowing the choices we've made and what we've done. I killed. Not because I wanted to, but because I had no choice. Not if I wanted to live. Not if I wanted to help the others I cared about to survive. I came to Tosu City unmarked. I thought I understood what leadership meant and what I would face if I was selected for the testing. These 5 raised scars remind me how far I have come and how much I have changed. Because it's not just the outside that has been marked. Where my beliefs were once black and white, I now see shades of gray. My father must have seen those shades too. He suspected what the testing entailed. He could have made the choice to help me flee. He and the other leaders of our colony could have found a way to eliminate the Tosu City official before he had a chance to inform the 4 of us that we were chosen. Looking back, I see so many things my father could have done had he wanted to keep me from the testing. And still, he let me come. Because no matter what he believed about the process of the testing, he believed in this country and the strength of the leaders who run it. He made a choice to believe in this system despite its flaws. I think of the piece of paper that sits inside the bag I now slide onto my shoulder, the task I've been given, and my belief that the testing must end before it is allowed to kill again. I will have to decide whether to pretend I'm still the girl from 5 Lakes who climbed into the skimmer on her way to Tosu City, or to take the best of that girl and allow it to be forged into something new. A faint clicking sound stops me as I start down the stairs. Zine. Relief fills me, and when the sound comes again, I hurry back to my rooms, unlock the door, and pull the communicator out of my bag. I click the button twice in response and say, "Are you okay?" "I'm fine. What about you? I was worried when you didn't answer last night. If everyone around here weren't so jumpy, I would have come to check on you." "I can take care of myself," I say. That I survived the testing and everything the university has thrown at me should be testament to that. Still, it's nice to have my brother thinking about me and expressing a desire to protect, even though there is little he can do to keep me safe. "Well, if you want to take care of yourself, you have to get out of there, now," Zine hisses. "The girl I talked to last night says there are rebels on campus who Simon has been using to collect information. They're also part of a plan to attack Dr. Barnes and other university officials from inside." "Michael told me there were rebels among the university students," I reply. "He was worried they were armed. He feared that if fighting broke out, they might start open warfare here on campus, and that students might be caught in the crossfire. From what Zine says, Michael was right." "This morning, Simon and Renetta spoke to everyone at camp. With the vote coming tomorrow and the attack scheduled to begin on Friday, we're now under instructions to remove anything or anyone we believe could interfere with the rebellion's success. If the rebel students are under the same orders, it won't take much to convince them to come after you." That doesn't make any sense. I'm a colony student. They should know I'm on the side of shutting down the testing. Removing me isn't logical. Logic isn't what's leading this rebellion, Sia. Emotion is. They want to end the testing. But after investing their time and energy, what they want even more is to make Dr. Barnes and all those who were part of the testing pay. They don't care if they die as long as those they believe to be responsible for the testing are dead too. If they see you as a threat to victory, they'll have no problem sacrificing you in order to secure the greater cause. Get out of there while you can. There's nothing you can do to stop what's coming. Yes. Yes, there is. Zine, quiet! I obey the harsh whisper and wait. Metal bites into my fingers as I clutch the communicator and wait for Zine to speak again. Look, I mean what I said. Get Tomas and get out of there. He can help you stay safe until I get word to you about what is happening here. I'm not going to leave unless you do. If it would keep my brother safe, I would run. You have to get out of the city, Sia. This isn't something you should be dealing with. Let me know when you're out of harm's way, and I'll try to join you after this is all over. Don't worry if you don't hear from me. It might be hard for me to get somewhere private enough to speak, but I'll contact you as soon as I'm able. No, I'm not going to leave knowing you're still in danger. Don't worry about me, he says with a hint of the self-assured tone I have always associated with my brother. I can take care of myself. I have to go. Zine, I whisper. As much as I want to speak his name again, I don't dare. Tears of frustration fill my eyes as I shove the device back into my bag and again head for the door. People will be starting to wonder why I'm so late for breakfast. If Zine is right, some of them might be rebels waiting for a chance to strike at any target, even me. Two officials, one in red, the other in purple, stand at the base of the stairs as I reach the first floor and head down the hall to get breakfast. Only a handful of students are seated at the breakfast tables when I walk into the dining hall. During most meals, it's noisy here, but now the room is quiet. Those who speak use hushed tones. Some watch me as I weave between the tables to the one where my final year guide, Ian, sits along with Rafe. Most students keep their eyes on their plates. Enzo does not. As I walk by him, I see concern and what looks to be a warning in his eyes. Something has happened. I try to catch Rafe's eye as I slide into the seat across from him, but he doesn't look up from his plate of grilled egg bread and fruit. Ian passes me a platter of food, and I place a slice of bread and a piece of ham on my plate. The food tastes wonderful, but it is clear no one is enjoying the meal. One by one, the remaining students finish their breakfast, push back their chairs, and leave. "What's going on?" I quietly ask Ian, who has remained in his seat. "University officials have confirmed that Damone didn't go home." "Do they think he ran away?" I ask. Ian shakes his head. "Professor Holt seems to think he might still be on campus. The officials spotted blood behind our residence, and they're concerned Damone might be injured and unable to find help. So she's ordered a search of every building on campus, including this one. No students are allowed back in their rooms until the search is complete. We've been asked to confine ourselves to the common room or the labs, or to wait outside until the officials are done." I think of the clothes I left in the abandoned house and the items that currently sit in my bag. If I had left any of them in my rooms, officials would be looking for me now. They would suspect what I know. Would they consider those objects a sign of treason? If so, I would be dead. Still, I'm worried about what else they might find. Is there something in my rooms that would lead officials to question me or remove me from campus? I don't think so, but it's impossible to be sure. Anxiety bubbles inside my chest, making it hard to breathe. Trying to sound unconcerned, I say, Enzo told me he saw Damone leave campus on his bike. If that's true, why is she searching the residence? Did Professor Holt not believe Enzo's story? Or is the transmitter in Damone's bracelet sending out a faint signal that shows he's somewhere nearby? Either way, I suspect this search isn't just a method of looking for Damone. Professor Holt knows about the rebel students. This might be her way of causing anxiety and maybe stirring them to action so she can have them removed. She says she's making sure all avenues to find Damone are explored, but I get the feeling she's looking for something. Like what? I don't know. But his eyes say something different. At least one student has disappeared every year that I've been attending the university. This is the first search like this I've seen. Professor Holt must have a reason. Ian's tone warns me that more is going on here than is being said. Perhaps Professor Holt's search has indeed spurred the student rebels to act on their own. Also, until further notice, students are not allowed to leave campus for any reason. She has asked Dr. Barnes to post officials at the university gates to serve as a reminder to students who might otherwise forget. Extra safety officials, a ban on leaving campus. Both will make aiding President Colander more difficult, if not impossible. I should feel relief that I now have a valid excuse for not being able to fulfill the president's assignment. But I don't. I feel cornered and helpless. When will we be allowed to resume our internships? I ask. There are things I've been asked to do. Ian pushes his plate away and turns toward me. Whatever assignments you've been given can wait until this whole thing passes. I get the feeling things are going to be different soon. Just go to class, do your homework, and sit tight, okay? His eyes hold mine. Just for a fraction of a second, but it's enough for me to know that there's a deeper meaning to his words. He's confirming what I have believed since I was first assigned to government studies and Ian offered me assistance. Ian is one of the rebels, which means he must have weapons somewhere nearby. Is he concerned Professor Holt will find them? If so, he's good at hiding his apprehension. I wonder whether that would be the case if he knew the rebellion he follows is being undermined. When Michael was transferred to the president's office, he told me a friend would be near to watch over me. I believe Ian is that friend. If so, telling him what happened to Michael and warning him about Simon's true purpose in creating the rebellion could make Ian an ally. But there's an equally good chance that his dedication to the rebel cause will make him discount what I say. Worse, he could report my words back to Simon or act as Zine suggested and eliminate the threat he might think I posed to the rebel plan. The president told me that whom I put my faith in will affect not only my life, but the lives of those around me. Knowing that, I find it impossible to decide. Do I take the chance of gaining another ally? One who might be able to help convince other rebels to ignore Simon's directives? Or wait to learn more? For the first time, I find myself wishing that Ian had gone through the testing with me, knowing the choices he made during his testing would help me now. The thought shocks me. The testing is wrong. Wishing that I knew what decisions Ian made during his testing is wrong. And yet, despite the horrific nature of the tests, I think of what the testing taught me about myself and about my fellow candidates. I understand that when pushed, I can shove back, that I am stronger and more resourceful than I ever thought possible, that my willingness to assume everyone believes in the values with which this country was founded and I was raised is flawed. I think of Professor Holt and her statement that the testing should be made even more strenuous. Of Dr. Barnes and his belief that the testing's purpose succeeds when the pressure of the tests causes a girl to take her own life. Of Simon, who has chosen to lead those who want change, boys like Ian and my brother, to kill even as he facilitates their own deaths. Ian stands.
Are you done, Sia?
I look down at the mostly full plate in front of me. But when I say, yes, I've had enough, I know I'm referring to so much more. Chapter 6. The sun is bright. The vibrant green grass looks cool and inviting as I stride across it to an unoccupied area not far from the bridge. I want to be close to the only exit from this area in case I have forgotten something in my room and safety officials come for me. I doubt I'd be able to flee, but I won't let them take me without a fight. The two officials on the other side of the ravine watch me as I look for a spot where I can settle. Some students who have chosen to treat being banned from their rooms as a holiday from work play a game of catch not far from the weeping willow tree. Others sit in groups quietly talking. A few, like me, have gone off on their own, reading from books they must have brought with them to the morning mealtime. For a moment I stare off in the distance toward the biological engineering residence where Tomas is. I want nothing more than to go to him. To find out if his residence is also being searched. To tell him what I've learned and what I've been asked to do. To share the burden of the decision that deep in my heart I've made. Will he approve? Will he stand beside me and help me complete this test as he has done so many times before? Or will this crackdown of university officials convince him once and for all it's time to run? I don't know. But I know I can't succeed in bringing down the testing alone. For that, I require help. I need people who are not only capable of doing what I ask, but whom I know I can trust.
Where did you go yesterday afternoon?
The soft-spoken words make me turn, and I see Rafe standing next to a small sapling.
You were supposed to stay inside.
Had I done so, I would not be planning what I am now. One choice has led to so many others. Too much had happened for me to stay in my room, so I took a ride to clear my head. I'm getting good at telling shades of the truth.
And now you have a plan.
Instead of answering the implied question, I say, while I was riding yesterday, I ended up going down a street that looked as if it hadn't been repaired in some time. Are there a lot of streets like that near the university?
A few, although not as many as there are on the other side of the city. There are more government officials in this area, so there are fewer areas that haven't been kept in good repair. My father doesn't even notice those streets exist.
His father. But you've seen them. Rafe shrugs.
I made a point of visiting some of those neighborhoods last year. I was hoping I'd find some answers.
I wait for him to tell me what answers he sought and what he found. When he doesn't, I say, the street I rode down is 10 minutes from campus. A lot of the houses had graffiti on them. He cocks his head to the side.
I think I know the street you mean.
Do people live there? The houses look empty, but I thought I saw signs that some of the buildings are still in use.
There are always people who don't want to adhere to the rules of the world they find themselves in. Since those streets are outside the notice of most government officials, they make good places to hide.
That's what I thought, too.
Why do you ask?
As much as I want to confide in Rafe, I'm not sure I can. Despite everything that has happened in the last few days, I still don't know if I'm confident enough in what he believes to tell him about the president's assignment. Without understanding his motivation in helping me, I can't tell him more. I was just curious, I say. It's different from the way we do things back home, especially the different color paints and drawings on some of the houses.
There are always kids looking for places to get away from their parents. Some of them liked to mark the houses they used to let other kids know the space was claimed. Officials put a stop to that when my brother was in school. Once that happened, the government lost interest in those sections of town. But mere curiosity isn't the real reason you're interested, is it? When I don't respond, he nods. You still don't trust me. Nearly everything inside me says that I should, but my father's warning before I left Five Lakes haunts me, as does the outcome when I failed to heed his advice during the testing. Though I want to trust, I can't. Not yet. In this case, once trust is given, it can't be taken back. I have to be sure. You still haven't told me why I should. When you trust me with your secrets, I'll trust you with mine. With that, Rafe heads off across the grass and around the back of the residence. The next time I notice him, he's standing next to Griffin. Both are laughing. Both are looking at me. The room-by-room search continues for the next several hours. Some students complain, others stretch out on the grass and go to sleep. Careful to make sure no one is nearby, I pull out a paper and pencil to organize my thoughts. First, I write my name, followed by Tomas's. Beneath our names, I write others. Ian, Rafe, Stacia, Enzo, Brick. All have knowledge or skills that could be useful in the days to come. Ian with his connection to the rebels, Rafe because of his knowledge of Tosu leaders, Stacia for her ability to put aside emotion and coolly analyze the situation, Enzo with his awareness of the tensions among the citizens, his clear dislike of the current system, and his father and brothers, who must be working with the rebels. And Brick, who might have skills to support this kind of action since his parents went through the testing. They both graduated from the university and now work at a former military facility, developing techniques to improve colony security against wild and mutated animals and other possible attacks. All good reasons to ask these individuals for their assistance. But there's one more factor that has to be taken into consideration. Who will be able to kill? More, who will I be willing to ask to take lives? Closing my eyes, I take deep breaths and think about these people one by one. Tomas. Just focusing on him makes me feel more grounded. I love and trust him without reservation. He might not like the decision I've made to end the testing using the president's method, but my heart wants to believe he will stand at my side. At the very least, he won't reveal my plans to anyone who might act against me. Stacia is my friend. She's also assigned to the medical field of study, the field that is headed by one of the people on the president's list. Stacia is focused, strong-willed, and more than capable of handling whatever comes her way. The testing and her medical induction prove Stacia will do whatever it takes to be successful. Can she be trusted? Under normal circumstances, I'm certain I would say no. But if she can be convinced that the president's assignment will aid her own advancement, she can be counted on to help. And I'm certain she would approve of the president's determination that the ends justify the means. I draw stars next to both names and move on to the others. Rafe has already shown he can turn deadly. And the unemotional way in which he disposed of Damone tells me he is not squeamish about doing what needs to be done. But I don't know what secrets he holds or what he would do to protect them. Brick has also shown his ability to wield a weapon. If I close my eyes, I can see his bullets tearing into the mutated humans that he thought threatened me. The testing taught me Brick is willing to place faith in my observations when it comes to passing a test. But he's the son of two university graduates who believe in the testing. Brick's parents
wanted him to come to the university, so Brick obeyed their wishes and studied in order to be selected. I'm not sure he would be willing to ignore what he was taught by his parents on my word alone. In fact, I'm almost certain Brick wouldn't see reporting my actions as a betrayal, but as the act of a good citizen. I draw a line through his name. I shiver as a breeze rustles through the nearby tree, and I rub the scars on my arm. Out of the corner of my eye, I see the flash of a smile and the intense gaze of green eyes. Will. Someone I have not added to my list, but one who can kill. From experience, I know Will to be cunning and resourceful and capable of a ruthless determination. He made the choice to kill other candidates who did nothing more than stand in his way for a spot at the university. Will he be willing to eliminate the people who gave him what he fought so hard for? I think about the Will I first met, the one who joked with his twin, who, under the most pressure-filled circumstances, found ways to make the people around him laugh. It was when his brother failed to pass the first test that Will began to change. He felt alone. He was desperate to prove that he could survive without his brother, that the sacrifice of that lifelong anchor was not for nothing. Does that make his betrayal less heartbreaking? No. But now that I have my memories back, I remember something else. A conversation we had after the tests were over. Despite the callousness of his actions, he took the time to learn the name of a girl he'd killed. Perhaps he never thought her death would matter to him as more than a method of achieving his goal, but it did. I can't forgive him for his actions, but there was something about the way he talked of her that makes me wonder if Will wouldn't make a different choice during the testing now. I shake my head and mentally draw a line through Will's name as Professor Holt steps out of the residence entryway and calls to us. When we gather near, she thanks us for our patience and tells us that we are free to go back to our rooms or to any of the university buildings. However, until the investigation into Damone's disappearance is complete, no student is allowed to leave campus. Relief fills me. If they had found something incriminating in my rooms or in the rooms of the rebel students, I doubt they would allow us to just go about our business. Foreboding returns as I realize there is an equal chance Professor Holt and her team did find something, and that they're just using that information to focus their attention on the student or students who are now under suspicion. Most of my fellow students seem unconcerned as they follow Professor Holt back inside the building. Worry that my movements might be watched even more closely makes me consider doing the same. But sitting inside will not help my brother. So instead I head for the bridge to find Tomas. The officials who are guarding the bridge are gone as I pass onto the main part of campus. The biological engineering residence is to the northwest. When I get close, I see students milling around the building. They too must have had their rooms searched. Shielding my eyes from the sun, I look for Tomas and finally spot him. He's listening to a girl who's trying to hold his attention, but I can tell the minute he sees me, his shoulders sag with relief, and his smile transforms from one of kindness to one filled with love. As much as I want to cross the space between us, I turn and head toward the northeast, hoping that Tomas will understand and meet me in the place where we have met in the past. I take a less direct path to better determine whether anyone is following me now that the search of the residence has been completed. Fewer people are wandering around the campus, which makes me feel more conspicuous than usual, especially since I'm alone and those whom I do pass are walking in groups of three and four. I wave as if not caring who sees me and hurry along the walkways until I reach my destination. I enter the small brick building that was once used to house genetically altered roosters. Once scientists had successfully boosted the rooster's immune systems and filtered out the mutations caused by wartime chemicals, the roosters were distributed to new farms, and this building was cleaned in preparation for a new use. And now, because of the building's small size, only students seeking privacy have been interested in using the space. Sunlight from a small window in the back provides the only illumination in the dim, musty room. It's enough light for me to decide to remain standing instead of taking a seat on the dusty floor. I check to make sure the transmitter I left here to block the tracking signals in our bracelets is still in place, and then pace as I wait for Tomas to walk through the door. When he does, I drop my bag and run to him. Wrapping my arms around his body, I lean my head against his chest, grateful to have him near. Tomas and I have known each other our whole lives. We have grown, worked, and survived the testing together. Perhaps it shouldn't surprise me still that we are joined now by love as well as friendship. I'm not sure what I would have done without Tomas beside me during the weeks after we left Five Lakes Colony. His faith in my abilities kept me strong. His strength and love helped me survive. When his lips find mine, I throw myself into the kiss, knowing that when it ends, I will have to tell him everything that has happened since we last saw each other. It has been less than 2 days, but it feels like longer. For a moment, I allow myself the luxury of forgetting. I press myself against Tomas, feeling the warmth of his body seep into mine. His mouth becomes more insistent, and I meet it with a passion I didn't know I possessed. We are both alive. We are together. With what is to come, I'm not sure how long that will last. The kisses grow in intensity until finally we step away from each other. My heart pounds. My breathing is shallow and quick. I long to kiss him again, but there will be time for that later, I hope. For now, too much has to be said. As quickly as I can, I explain the events that transpired since I insisted he leave the rebel camp and return to the university without me. Rafe finding the testing recordings, Michael's giving them to Simon, Simon's betrayal, Michael's death. Tomas starts to ask questions, but I keep talking. If I don't, the emotions I've kept at bay over Michael's death and the things I have now vowed to do will overwhelm me. I speak about contacting Zine, the search for Damone, Enzo reporting Damone's departure to Professor Holt, my trip to the city to find the president, the search of our residence.
I'm glad your brother is safe, and he's also right. You need to keep your head down and stay out of this from now on, especially now that they appear to be searching for trouble here on campus.
Tomas takes my hand and squeezes it.
You've done all you can. The president can take it from here.
I shake my head. President Colander can't cancel the vote without losing the authority she still has left. She thinks she can postpone it for a week, which gives her time to implement a second plan to eliminate Dr. Barnes.
What plan is that?
I lace my fingers through his, take a deep breath, and say, me. Tomas goes still.
I don't understand. What does she think you can do that her own staff can't?
She thinks I can kill Dr. Barnes and his top administrators.
That's crazy. She can't be serious.
It's the same plan Renetta's rebel faction was supposed to execute, I explain, and it makes a terrible kind of sense. If Dr. Barnes and the other leaders are eliminated...
I'm not referring to the plan. I can understand why she'd believe that tactic is her only choice. What I don't get is why she's asking you to do it.
Simon was able to get Michael assigned to her office as a spy. There could be others who report back. I pull my hand away and wrap my arms around myself. I think she's right. Asking me could be the only real chance of her plan succeeding.
Except that you aren't a killer. Even when we were betrayed during the testing, you refused to kill deliberately.
I start to protest, but Tomas cuts me off.
If you really wanted to eliminate Will during the fourth test, you would have.
But I did try. I can still feel the kick of the gun. My desperation as Tomas lay bleeding on the ground, a victim of Will's desire to win at all costs. I wanted Will to pay for his betrayal. I failed then. This time I can't.
I know you want to end the testing, Sia. I do too. But this is too much for the president to ask of you. This shouldn't be your job.
But it is. Straightening my shoulders, I say, I have been given an assignment by the President of the United Commonwealth, and I'm going to accept. Fear wells up inside me, but alongside it is a determination as strong as steel. I don't want to hurt anyone, Tomas, but to end the testing and save my brother and Daylene and everyone else, I will do this.
Are you sure?
I hear the unhappiness in his voice. Not long ago, he asked me to leave the university with him. When I refused, he chose to stay with me. But I know that's still what he really wants, to flee, to go home, to pretend none of what we have seen and what we know is real. As much as I've planned to have him at my side during the weeks ahead, I love him. Because of that, I have to let him go. I am. Two words from which there is no going back. I will do what I must. But Tomas doesn't have to.
You don't have to do this. You can leave.
Pressure builds in my chest. Tears pool behind my eyes. I feel one fall as I steel myself against the pain.
I might not succeed, I say. If I don't, one of us should go back to Five Lakes and tell Magistrate Owens what's happening here. Our families and friends need to be prepared for whatever comes. They need you.
I wait for him to respond. Another tear falls.
Tomas?
I reach out to him, but he steps away from my touch.
Promise me that if we fail and war breaks out, we run,
he says.
You can't.
Yes, I can.
He steps closer, and in the dimness I see his face. So handsome, so dear.
I won't leave you to do this alone.
But
his mouth touches mine, silencing my protest. I wrap my arms around him and sink into the kiss. After this, I will find a way to convince him to go. But I want this one memory to hold close. This moment. His arms wrap tight around me. In their circle, I am safe. But I feel a fire start to burn. My hands touch his cheeks, his neck, his arms, memorizing the feel of him. My breath comes faster. I allow myself one last kiss, then step out of the warmth of Tomas's arms. Taking a steadying breath, I say, I want you to tell me that you'll leave.
I'll leave only when you do. Until then, we're in this together.
He kisses me again. His fingers lace through mine. We stand in the shadows, facing the unknown like we did on the plains during the fourth test.
Together,
I agree. Maybe if I pushed harder, he would promise to return home. But I don't. Because this is his fight, too. Because I know if I'm going to succeed, I need him at my side. Because my heart can't bear to push him away.
How many names are on the president's list?
12. I run down the list of names I memorized earlier.
The president can't believe you can handle all of that by yourself.
She might, but I know I need help, I say. I was hoping you'd stand with me, and I think Stacia might. But we'll need more. People who believe as we do and can handle the decisions we're going to have to make. People we can trust.
Trust takes time. That's something we don't have.
Tomas is right. Trust does take time. So does understanding a person's strengths and weaknesses. The task I've accepted should seem impossible, yet in a matter of weeks, Dr. Barnes was able to determine not only who was smart enough to lead our country, but how we would comport ourselves when faced with extreme pressure and life-threatening situations. Everyone here at the university was chosen to lead. But what I will need to know is that those on my team believe as I do that the testing must be ended, that those who have worked for the rebellion, thinking they were bringing change, must be saved, that we need new leaders who will change the system that brought us here in order to secure the futures of those younger than us who dream of someday being selected. And if the people I decide to ask to participate in this terrible task are willing to fight for those things, there is still one question that must be answered. Can they be trusted? To learn the answer, Tomas and I have only one choice. We will need to stage our own testing. Tomas listens as I tell him my idea, as well as everything I learned about the people on the list and their visions for the future of the testing. When I'm done, he doesn't make another plea for us to leave. Instead, he says, "A week doesn't give us much time to assemble a team and carry out a plan." "I'll talk to Stacia tomorrow after class," I say. "Are you sure we can trust her? I know she's your friend, but..." I'm certain he's remembering the encounter we had with her during the fourth test. I remember it, too. She was with two candidates from her colony, a blonde girl named Tracelyn and a boy named Vic. We spent only a few hours with them, during which Stacia was standoffish. When she did speak, she casually expressed the belief that testing officials would be justified in passing candidates who chose to kill. When the fourth test ended, Stacia and Vic had crossed the finish line. Tracelyn had not. And the smile Stacia wore on the days leading to our interviews and selection made me think she had something to do with Tracelyn's failure to pass that test. "No," I admit, "but I think I understand what motivates her." Which might be more important. I can't say the same about the others I'm considering.
"I wish there were more students from Five Lakes," Tomas says. "At least we'd understand where they came from and what they were taught to believe."
Knowing Tomas is thinking of Xandri, I give his hand a squeeze and think about how much I wish she were with us too. "I think there might be others from Five Lakes here in Tosu City." Quickly, I tell Tomas about Drew Owens and the information I found about him. If he's still in Tosu City, he might be willing to help us.
"Maybe."
Tomas smiles for the first time since I told him about the president's directive.
"I know a number of biological engineering graduates, like your father, are sent to the colonies, but a lot of them are assigned to work in Tosu City. One of the people I work with in my internship might know where to find Drew. If not, the head of my residence should have an idea where he is. It would be good to have someone on our team who knows how things work in Tosu City."
True, which is why Rafe and Enzo are both on my testing list. The idea of Rafe as a team member doesn't make Tomas happy, but instead of arguing, he says,
"If you can find a way to test Rafe that shows he isn't like Will, I'll be okay working with him."
In my mind, I see a flash of Tomas's face going pale as Will's bullet hits home, red blooming on Tomas's shirt, him clutching his torso as he falls to the ground. Whatever test I create for Rafe to prove he's capable of being on our team will have to be definitive in order to gain Tomas's agreement. I check the time. Dinner will be served soon. With Professor Holt and rebel students scrutinizing all that is happening around them, I dare not be late. We will meet after classes tomorrow. By then, I hope Tomas will have learned something about Drew Owens, and I will not only have secured Stacia's agreement, but will have come up with ways to test Rafe, Ian and Enzo. If you need to contact me before then, use this. I pull out the pulse radio that uses the frequency I chose for just the two of us. Tomas takes the radio from me and smiles.
I like knowing I can get in touch with you whenever I want. You're probably going to hear from me so often that you'll be sorry you gave it to me.
I doubt it, I say, taking his hand in mine. I know being a part of this isn't something you want.
No, and it isn't what you want either.
He reaches out and runs his fingers across my cheek.
We're going to get through this, Sia, I promise you, one way or another.
One way or another. We agree to test the radios later. After one last kiss, I turn and walk out the door to head back to my residence. Tomas will wait 10 minutes and then go to his. We will meet again tomorrow. By then, our own version of the testing will have begun. Chapter 7. I leave the dining hall as soon as I finish eating. Between Griffin's glares, Rafe's forced smiles, and Ian's concerned glances, I had little interest in the meal. Most of the other students didn't have the same problem, especially when it was announced that the ban on leaving campus would be extended one more day. Not having to attend internships made some of the students cheer. I couldn't help but notice that Ian wasn't among them. No one seemed concerned about the search of their rooms that had occurred just hours before, but I was. When I return to my rooms, I brace myself as I slide the key in the door. During dinner, I heard a few annoyed whispers about items that were taken from students' rooms. An old straight razor Sam's grandfather taught him how to shave with. A journal one girl had kept since she first started at the university. An old map of Tosu City from the days when it was called Wichita. Nothing that seemed important. Not a single object that could help Professor Holt discover Damone's whereabouts. But I did notice people casting glances at those who confessed to discovering items missing from their rooms. Despite the search that took place, my rooms look almost exactly as I left them. I searched to see if anything is missing. The vase of dried flowers and my clothes are here. The books for my classwork are accounted for. The homework I need to turn in tomorrow has not been disturbed. One by one, I pull out the desk drawers and check their contents. Pencils and page clips, straight edges and old assignments I've not yet recycled, bits of wire, pieces of metal, small copper plates, some screws and other hardware. The things I used to make the transmitters I designed to interfere with the signal of the tracking device in my bracelet. Not that these things are unique to that purpose, but there's a chance someone who knows about the tracking device could look at them and divine my reason for having them. If so, there's nothing I can do about it now. Almost everything seems as I remember seeing it when I left this morning. The only changes I've spotted are a desk chair out of place and the wardrobe pushed several inches away from the wall. I slide the chair back to its place under the desk and walk to the wardrobe. The large wooden case is heavy and hard to shift on the carpeted floor. I'm amazed the officials went to the trouble of moving it, since I can't imagine what they could hope to find in the space between it and the wall. I slide one hand behind the wardrobe to see if there's any way to get a better grip on the wood, and feel something cool and metallic. I pull my hand back and peer behind the wardrobe to see what it is that I touched. The object is small, round, and silver. The same listening device I discovered in my testing identification bracelet. I think of the conversations I had before I went to meet with the president. Was this device placed here during the search by Professor Holt and her officials today? Or has it been here longer? I searched this room when it was first assigned to me and have repeated the procedure at least twice a week to make sure no one has found a way to watch my actions when I think I'm alone.
But the last search I conducted was days ago, before my conversation with Rafe, before speaking to Zine. If this device was put in place before I spoke to either of them, then someone knows that I'm responsible for Damone's disappearance and that I'm aware of the rebels and their purpose. They will also know that my brother is now among them and is working from the inside to put a stop to their mission. It's only Michael's insistence that Zine use a different name that keeps me from grabbing the transit communicator in an attempt to warn him. While we share my father's eyes and my mother's bone structure, that is where our resemblance ends. Zine is tall and blonde. No one will see him and think of me. If anyone has listened to my conversation with Zine, they will never know to look for a boy named Chris. Eventually, they'll ask enough questions and put together a list of all the recruits Michael brought to the camp, but that will take time. Now that I've found the listening device, I search the room again. Every inch of the wall, the bathroom tiles. I upend the small sofa, round table, and chairs in the sitting room, examine the seams of each of the cushions on the furniture to make sure none have been opened, and a camera or listening device inserted. The device behind the wardrobe is the only one. I walk back to look at it. When I discovered the recorder in my testing bracelet, my only thought was to avoid letting those who listened hear my secrets. Then the information the listeners received was only a danger if I crossed the finish line and passed the fourth test. Now whoever is listening is not just an observer, but an active participant, just as we candidates were. While I don't like knowing the recording is capturing every sound I make, I recognize the opportunity to create misdirection. Of course, while I believe Professor Holt is behind this device, I'm not certain that is the case. If it was here for longer, it might have been planted by the rebel students, Griffin, or fellow classmates who are just looking for a way to get ahead. Creating misdirection will be difficult unless I determine my audience. Until I do, I will leave the device in place. After several more tries, I shove the wardrobe back. Then, trying not to feel self-conscious, I put my bag on the ground, sit next to it, and pull out the list. With Simon and Dr. Barnes waiting to spring their trap, I doubt President Colander will be able to delay making her proposal on the debate chamber floor for much longer than the 7 days she promised. In that time, I have to assemble a group of true rebels, formulate a plan, and execute 12 leaders of the United Commonwealth. The enormity of the task threatens to overwhelm me, but I don't have time for doubt. Tomas has agreed to help. If I haven't misjudged her, Stacia will join the cause after our class tomorrow. While part of me considers creating a test for her, what I learned during the testing has given me enough insight into her character. Those two are smarter than any others I know, but no matter their resourcefulness, there are still too many targets for three of us to handle. Four if I count Zine, although I'm uncertain how much help he can offer while entrenched in the rebel camp. Still, I write his name on the paper next to Tomas's and Stacia's. Then I consider the others. Dr. Barnes has the resources of the entire United Commonwealth and years of trial and error to create his examinations. I have Tomas, Stacia, my instincts, and only a few days. The question of what litmus test to use on my peers is a difficult one. Clearly, I must present them with an opportunity that puts a crossroads before them. An opportunity to make a choice that shows not only whether they wish to stop the testing, but also whether they're willing to believe that violent action is necessary to obtain that goal. Easier said than done. I consider various scenarios, but none seems appropriate for all. And I realize that this is the problem. In contrast to the early stages of the testing, Everyone can't now be given the same test. Each classmate has a different outlook on life and a different goal for his or her time here at the university. Yes, they all want to be leaders, but none has the same reason behind it. Rafe is here because of his family connections. That history should tie him tightly to Dr. Barnes, but it doesn't appear to. Rafe doesn't act as though it is his birthright to be one of our country's future leaders. He's hiding secrets, as is Ian. I believe Ian wants the testing to end. We are both colony students who have faced many of the same challenges to get to this place. That alone should be enough to put us on the same side. But I'm uncertain whether he's a member of the rebellion, and if so, how loyal he is to Simon. If he believes Simon is truly working to end the testing, Ian won't want me interfering in the rebels' plans. He will do whatever it takes to stop me. Even if we have the same agenda, it's unclear how Ian would react if I were to tell him what I know. Enzo is another mystery. He has his own share of secrets. After what he shared with me outside the residence, I believe his father and brothers are among Simon's or Renetta's numbers. If they're part of Renetta's faction, he might be able to get word to them about Simon's treachery. If Zine and Enzo's family members both met with Renetta, they might be able to encourage her to work independently of Simon and to remove the targets on the president's list without Dr. Barnes being alerted to the attack. However, if his family is working with Simon's group, then Enzo may not believe what I have to say. As potential members of the rebellion, Ian and Enzo could be my staunch allies or my ardent opponents. Rafe, Ian, and Enzo. I need to test all three. But what challenge should I give each of them? And while I don't want to ask myself this, I have to wonder,